You've got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up. You've got to pump it up, don't you know.
Hi Stars fan, this is Alex Ranger and you're listening to A View from Section C.
A View from Section C is sponsored by Don Michele, Italian restaurant, Perth Road, Dundee.
Hello, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whenever you're listening. Welcome along to episode 110 of the Don Michele sponsored A View from Section C. Senior, another week.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good, Junior. Good. And I'll be closer to retirement. I'll keep saying it.
Your mum's not doing anything every week now.
I can. Well, I don't want to say we're shitting it. Nah, we're busy. I've been on one of those Kaizen events this week, which is, yeah, eye-openers, shall we say. But it's good. It's good. What I mean, I've been through that many of them. It's all about change. But then it's trying to get the team to change, which will be the difficult thing. But, yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm still breathing. Apparently that, yeah. I've been sort of missing the football, but eh.
Missing the football.
Yeah, well, I've been missing United playing.
All right.
Been missing United playing. I look forward to watching them on a Saturday on the fair stick. But
No. Watching them live in person.
Yeah. Hey, you get what I'm saying? I've got United TV.
We're going to move on for that. Because obviously, this show will be getting shut down because of you soon. Honest to God.
No, not at all.
Honest to God.
Fuck, if it's going to get shut down, I'll get shut down because of you.
You're then talking about fucking fire sticks. Anyway, it's a new week. We'll start off with our usual of the MBE Valeting Services sponsored Two We Watch. So, listen, Senior, I think you might have been right in your man in the stands with Mr. Josh Saunders. I think you could be right. He did not play at the weekend for the Kestrels. They were at Paisley and lost by 4-1. So, no Josh there. Aberdeen were away to the North Ayrshire Wild and won 8-0. They turned up with 12 skaters and a goalie, Aberdeen. Nae Dom, nae Gary, but Rowan played. And unfortunately, 0 points. Settling into the team, that's what we're going to say. Settling into the new team, that's what it is. So that's two we watch. There wasn't much happened. We only had one player.
That's it, done.
We will go to Rockets talk, though, straight away. Rockets were away on Saturday to Kilmarnock and beat them by 12-2. I've been buzzing to announce this result tonight. Michael Ireland with a goal. Yeah. Lewis McIntosh with a goal. Jaden Baxter with a goal. And I've seen you, it's quite funny, coming round for you from watching hockey for years of his dad, Billy, still playing.
Yeah.
And his granddad.
I know.
Playing.
I know.
So young Jaden with a goal for the Rockets.
I know. So from us going back to the Dundee Ice Arena when it opened to watching the Mitchell Inn, and we could see it. Old Billy Baxter was playing.
Old Billy, yep.
To then watching young Billy.
Mm-hmm.
To now seeing Jaden playing for the Rockets. Yeah.
Brilliant.
It's great when you hear of that, the generational thing, that it's went from your granddad to dad, basically, to son. Brilliant. Yeah.
So Jaden with the goal there. Jack and Andy Henderson, both chipping in there as well. Sam McCluskey, John Gordon, 2 goals by Michael Becker. And then the superstar.
JD.
The GOAT of the Dundee Rockets. With
JD.
Three goals.
Oh, it's got to be JD.
Cam McGiffin. A hat-trick for McGiffin. Love it.
So, that's my we've point. Seen that coming through on Saturday. And I must admit, the first question on my lips was, how the fuck does McGiffin manage to score three? Was how the fuck is Dolan no scored any?
I know. Two assists, though. Two assists.
Shocking. We build them up, right? Listen, we built Dolan up, right up to the greatest in the play. Kilmarnock scored 12 and he has 0+2.
Yeah.
So, really? Yes. He's banned. Dolan's gone. Dolan's gone. McGiffin's in.
Mon the gif. But seeing you, this is the part of the show where I'm actually going to bring in my honourable mention for the week. And it's one that a lot of people are going to be surprised at. None more so than us. Because senior, honourable mention this week.
It's us.
Senior, it fucking happened at the weekend. It happened. The Kilmarnock Thunder won a game.
No.
They beat North Ayrshire Wild in North Ayr on Sunday 2-1 in a shootout.
It fucking
happened.
Junior, we were calling it, weren't we?
I couldn't believe it.
How good would it be if their win was against North? We called that. So if anybody for the Kilmarnock Thunder's listening, cheers, lads. We'll take mention as well.
Listen, we said it. I'm sure it was last week we said it. That
it was.
It's going to be a celebration on the show when Kilmarnock win their first game. League table was up. It's back on the screen for you watching on YouTube if you're listening elsewhere. Here we go. Bottom of the table is still the Kilmarnock Thunder. However, their streak is at one win. No longer a 16-17 game losing streak. We're on one win. Same bottom with 2 points through 18 games. Rockets still at the top. 35 points through 19 games. Edinburgh in second, 30 points through 19. Aberdeen third, 27 points through 20 games. And the Kestrels, 22 points through 19. I think it's probably safe to rule them out of probably the running for second place even as well. Unless there's a good swing of results going in their favour. Of Edinburgh dropping points and then picking them up. But I can't really see past it being a three-way, kind of three-horse race now for those top two positions in Aberdeen, Edinburgh and the Rockets.
Yeah, it looks like it. I was going to look at that table there and I think we mentioned a few weeks ago about the Rockets' power play and said, imagine if the Rockets' power play really started motoring. And if you look at the table again, they're now number one power play. They're at 31.1. Yeah, and their penalty kill they've got. So if you think about it, people got on about special teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you've got a 12-game winning streak when your power play is at 31% and your penalty kill's at 86 and both are the top. So,
yeah. Also, most goals for and least goals against.
That's how you win championships, Junior, is it?
Yeah. Big result for the Rockets in keeping that momentum going. Big result for our friends in Kilmarnock with the Thunder getting their first win of the season.
Oh, outstanding.
Mon McKillie. Honestly, when I saw it, I thought, I can't wait to do the show this week and bring it up because I knew that you probably wouldn't have noticed it.
No, never even noticed.
I'm glad that was a wee surprise for you as well there.
That's brilliant, eh? we did speak about it and we said, oh, it'd be good if it was against the North Air Wild.
Yeah, absolutely tremendous. So speaking of our hat-trick hero from the weekend, with his first ever senior hat-trick, he even got to keep the puck. It is time for the 51 Cup sponsored game review. So, senior, we were at home to the Nottingham Panthers on Saturday night. Jombor Garat at 2:31, putting on and winning the thing up. Christoph Kontos made it 2 at 4:25. It was a goalless second period, and it was almost a goalless third period, if not for a consolation power play goal at 59:41 by Spencer Nass, assisted by Dryden and Zach Sekos. The game was piss poor.
Yeah, it was.
We've said it before about Danny Stewart and his teams. Coventry always was a shit game. It was poor. And I think,
yeah,
I even think it's been the same this year against Nottingham. I'm sure the last game against them was quite poor as well. Yeah. We just can't get the tactics right against them.
I'll ask you a question, right? I had a conversation on social media with a guy about Nottingham, and I responded, and we agreed to disagree. There was no animosity or that about it. Oh. A good Nottingham team. I think they're decent.
In comparison to previous Nottingham team, so look at it in two ways, right? That in comparison to when Stars first came in the league and your Corey Nielsen Nottingham Panthers, no. In comparison to the last few years Nottingham Panthers, yes. I don't think we are miles away from them, like ourselves, on our game. If we play consistently like what we did the previous weekend against Belfast,
we win
that game.
That's right. So for that statement alone, right, and that's where I was going with the guy, was if we're on form, we beat them. It's as simple as that. Because I don't think they are a very good Nottingham Panthers side. We were poor.
Mm-hmm.
We started poor. I think Big Jarrett will certainly want the first goal back.
Absolutely.
It went right through him. Right through him. It may have been that he didn't expect the guy to fire it like that, but anyway, the guy did. He's got to be concentrating, and it scored. But then we give up another soft goal. Mersey, should he have not pinched. I think the D-men have been asked to pinch. So if he's been asked to pinch, then he's done his job right. But sometimes as a player, you need to make that decision. If you're pinching, you have to make sure you get it. Because if you don't get it, then you've left yourself wide open.
I'll tell you, it's a fucking snipe for Kontos, though. That is an absolute snipe. Yeah. Nobody's saving that. But for him to be in that position to score it, it's a defensive mistake again. And it's a theme throughout the season.
Yeah. And then after that, the game went back and forward. There wasn't a lot of excitement in it. And it just got exciting in the last minute and a half or so. Because we went on the power play, we were able to go 6-on-4, we score, and then you think, oh, there's a wee chance here, but then you suddenly, Andy announces, there's only 19 seconds to go. But for me, that was the biggest thing about that game that I believe had an impact on the players, was the lack of a visible clock. Because who's then... The players have then got to work out when to change. Where normally they could look at a clock and go, right, that's, oh, we better change. We have to change. They don't know how long there is going, and Andy's shouting and George's bland whistles. And I appreciate you have to get the game on, but there has to be something better for the players. And I'll be honest with you, that has to be better for both sets of players. Not just us, but I think we struggled more than they guys without that, without the clock and the visibility of how long there was to go and how long starting penalty kills and stuff like that. Yeah. I think that sort of I think that made the night flat to start with, and then it just continued flat. But you're right, Danny Shewart just takes the fucking buzz out the building whenever he comes in with now.
Yeah, it was flat on the ice all over the place. Yeah. I didn't think Nottingham were really that up for it. It was just flat across both ends of the ice.
I just didn't think Nottingham, they're sitting fourth in the league, but I would say Guildford are a better team than them. I would say Coventry are a better team than them. And I would probably argue on their game, Glasgow are a better team than them. And I honestly believe we're a better team than them. Yet they're sitting fourth because they're picking points up. They're winning good games. They're winning big games. But when you look at the way they played against us, they're not a big sort of Nottingham Panthers side where you think, oh God, we're going to get fucking humped here.
Yeah, but to me,
that was a shock that we lost. I expected to win that game.
They didn't have to do anything. They got their two goals early enough and they just kind of sat in. They broke out when they needed to. They still had chances. We just, throughout the game, we couldn't score. We couldn't pass. We couldn't defend. It was just an off night altogether.
But, Junior, how many times is Mark going to say that in interviews, though, that, you know, teams have taken the lead, they clog up the middle, and they've got a goalie who plays well? Well, if that's the case, if we go behind 1-2-0 early, we've got to do something different. We can't just keep going the same way, because all that will happen is they'll clog up the middle. We've got to think of something different.
Yeah. But I actually think Mark said that he thought we played quite well in spells and that we battled hard, and I actually disagreed with his interview. I don't think we played well at all.
No, not
until maybe a few minutes to go. It was a poor result. Senior, we both had it wrong. We both said 4-3 again.
Yeah. I thought I said 4-2, but
4-3 overtime, you said.
Oh, was it? Right, okay. I'm sitting here trying to think, man of the match, and
I've got mine, but what I do want to kind of touch on again, and we spoke about it the week before, was about the lack of ice time for Johnny McBean.
I've got that in my good, my bad, my ugly, and we'll touch on it twice. I'm happy.
Yeah, Craig Garrigan, Pouliot as well. So obviously Pou back in the lineup, playing as a forward. Moorsey's sticking in D still. Pouliot sat in his arse the whole of the third period, I think. Johnny sat in his arse majority of the third period and most of the second. Same with Craig, other than penalty kill. And it was me that said it first, and a few others have said it, and no doubt this is probably your point for the good, the bad, and the ugly. But it would be very interesting to see the average ice time before and after Johnny McBean signed that 2-year extension. It's almost like we were giving him the ice time, we've given him the contract to keep him, and then, okay, we've got guys out injured, Elmer comes back, it'll shake things up when he comes back. But, you know, what do you do?
Yeah. So, I totally agree with you. I think the top two lines are settled. I think Harams, Sekos and Nass fit one another quite well.
Yeah.
I think Sonj, Gravel and Yamamoto complement one another very well. So that then leaves you with a third line, right? And everybody else thrown in the mix for third and fourth line. For me, I would probably go with Kiely as the third line centre, with McBean and Elmer. That's absolutely what I would go with.
Absolutely.
And I would put Alberga down the fourth line with Garrigan and Alex Robert.
Yeah.
Right? Which unfortunately means that Pouliot's the one that sits out.
Or a goalie.
Unless. Backup. Yeah. Yeah. Unless you go with a Brit goalie as a backup and you're able to put them all in there. Or you put Craig back as the forward and you put Pouliot on defence and Robert has to sit out if you go with the two import goalie scenario.
Yeah.
That's the way I would go with it. So when Jake comes back, it will mix it up a wee bit. But for the Nottingham game, and again, people were talking about it. Yeah, but your fourth line aren't going to get you a goal. And yeah, you could understand it. They might, but the chances are they might not, right? But what the fourth line do is not going to shit out the defence. That's what they do. They tire them out. The forecheck and they hit the D-men. The forecheck hit the D-men. And that's what they do. And then what happens is the game gets longer and longer. Your fourth line are beginning to hit their D-men. Their D-men are beginning to get a wee bit tired. And then that's when you could suddenly try and mismatch them. And you've then got your first line going in or your second line to then try and capitalise on that. It's not all about the fourth line's not going to score goals. The fourth line is there to do a job. And that job is to grind it out and also to give people a breather.
Yeah.
Danny rolled his four lines all night. All night.
Yeah.
We never.
No.
Danny didn't. He was 2-0 up after 4 minutes.
We were down to two.
Yeah. But then what happens is you've got the fourth line, even guys like Logan Nielsen, just forechecking. Jordan Kersal, just forechecking. Putting pressure on Dryden. Putting pressure on Moorsey. Putting pressure on Ben. That's all they're doing.
Yeah.
Hitting and making the D-men tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, that's what a fourth line is all about. The fourth line isn't there when things are going well. You play them. When things are going shite, you sit them on their arse. They're there for a reason.
Yeah. Can I say a bit myself? They just seem to be pulling the splinters out their arse just now. And to be quite frank, I think it's shit.
Yeah, so
Don't agree with it.
No, I totally disagree.
I'd understand. Now, I know we moaned about it.
I can understand there was 10 minutes. You know what? If we're 2-0 down and we're in the third period and there's maybe 10 minutes to go, then it's maybe at that point you think, I need to sit you guys now. Right, because
say,
we really need to chase it now.
I was going to say, though, I'd understand in a game where, you know, like the Belfast, it was 2-1, or 2-0 at the time, they scored 2-1. They go 3-1 up. It's still a close game, two goals in it. Maybe understand defensively, it might not be the best decision for them to play those guys in that scenario. But we're 2-0 down. We're going through the second period. They don't get much ice time. We're going through the third period. There's no much ice time. There was guys breathing out their arse. Even if it meant Pouliot went on defence for a shift or two, I'm going to say it. Cole McDonald was breathing out his arse at one point and he can't skate to the bench for a line change because he's that much breathing out his arse. Or lazy, depends on who you ask. Dominic Alberga, breathing out his arse at one point. The guys obviously need the break. Give them the shift off. Get those guys on. But we're not the coach. We're not professional hockey coaches, but...
I agree with you. And, Junior, listen, this is not just me and you sounding off on a podcast about it, right? People in around us and people that we speak to out with the ice rink that go to the Stars games say the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but you're right. Listen, we're no hockey coaches. If we were hockey coaches, we wouldn't be sitting here doing a da fucking podcast.
No, no. We're no Ryan Thompson. We're no hockey coach.
He just doesn't turn up to the games now.
I know. So, man of match.
Come on, I'm trying to think. Come on, I'm going to go Keanu.
Okay, I like that. I like that, senior.
I just felt every time when someone did happen, the thought he was sort of there or there about it.
Kind of for a similar reason. I thought there was only maybe two boys that I thought about could have got it. Dryden maybe being one of them. But for me, Sonch. I thought Sonch had an all right game, considering it was a poor game for everyone, I think. But Sonch was kind of there, mixing it, getting in people's faces, riling them up a bit, doing Philippe Sonch rap things, which we love to see, and hopefully does it again on Saturday.
Yeah.
With our good pal Mitchell and what was the other boy, Parry, and hopefully does that again then. So, Sonchi for me on Saturday. Okay, so we went into the Old Barn on Sunday with half a roof that was half fixed. Absolute got off to a five flyer. Philippe Sonch at 7:28, assisted by Keanu Yamamoto and Ben O'Connor. Cameron Kiley made it two at 8:04, assisted by Alberga and McDonald. Spencer Nast made it three at 13:13, down Seckles with the assist. Philippe Sonch, assisted by Yamamoto and Pouncey at 14:03. Cameron Kiley made it five at 14:39, assisted by Robert and Pouncey. Lucas Kyodo at 17:17 made it 5-1, end of the first period. Fife got the only goal in the second period through Ryan Foss at 34:03, making it 5-2, end of the second. Brendan Harms at 45:38, assisted by O'Connor, and Harms made it 6. Patrick Kite at 46:16 pulled another one back for the Flyers to make it 6-3. Dryden Dow at 53:34, assist by Nass and Seckles. It's 7. And then Zach Seckles with the icing on the cake, 53:56, assisted by Brendan Harms and one of our own, Chris Ingalls, and an 8-3 victory. So, obviously, we're now 27 minutes and 36 seconds into the podcast for Andy, just so he knows. A good win in Fife, regardless of the team that's in front of you. Good to see Voris getting pumped and hooked. And then Shane going in, and obviously Shane conceding the seventh is just the norm now for Fife.
Voris in, pumped and pulled.
Oh, pumped and pulled, I love it. That should have been the title of the show this week, Pumped and Pulled.
But you know what? You could only play what's in front of you, right? And it wasn't that long ago that same Flyers team were 4-1 down to Manchester and won 5-4.
Yeah.
Away from home. So I think it's probably a kick on from the night before, because they'll probably know that it was a poor performance at home against Nottingham. You just didn't want to be that team that's getting beat for five.
No.
Right? That's the thing now. You do not want to be getting beat for five. They're not winning a lot of games, but you don't want to be one of the team. Oh, shit. Dundee, they got beat for five. Ha ha. Yeah. Use our shite. Yeah. So they're going with their professional job. If we'd been 5-1 up at the end of the first and we'd won the game 5-1, and it's still been, we won 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's all you ask for. And I went in there and won 1-0. But it's obviously, it's no often that you beat your rival as many times as this and as convincingly as this in one season. It's just out of control. We seem to have found a way to get boxed by Shane now, which is a big thing, because for years we just could not find a fucking way past him. Didn't matter how well we played and how shite they played, Shane won them the game. But now he's getting a wee bit older. He tends to struggle in each arena that he's going probably, into now.
The thing is it probably I'm not questioning his professionalism at all, because he has been a very good professional for the Flyers, but is it now he's just gave up with the season? You know, they're 3 wins in 30 odd games. Is it just going through the motions? You know, if we're down early, then no. Oh well. But if we're in the game, then he's fucking laser focused. I don't know.
Over the years, he's had a lot of good D-men playing in front of him as well. Is it maybe just overall now that, you know, sometimes he's maybe saved the first shot on goal and then the defense collapse in on him or they clear it, whereas now they're not that very good.
Yeah.
So you are getting second, third, fourth chances. And they're getting in there. But listen, you're taking 8-3 win over your nearest and dearest fucking every day of the week.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? It was good to see so many people getting on the score sheet. There's a few in there. It's good to see Kylie came in for a bit of criticism on Saturday, comes back and scores 2.
Yeah,
I know it's 5. I must admit, I didn't think Kylie was that bad against Nottingham.
A lot of people, there's been a few people actually saying that he's been like this for months. Does not look interested, does not look this and that. I actually think it's undeserved criticism for Cameron Kiley.
Yeah.
I think Cameron Kiley's a very, very good player. And again, it's a bit like Yama, that I think he's a very good player. You put him down a line where he's not on the top line with better guys with him, that brings out his skill set. And it's no criticism to the guys that he's currently on with. But I think that is the case, that he's not your first or second line centre with a top goal scorer or a couple of guys who can move. You look at it against, he had a through pass for Nass. It was a great chance. I think Nass didn't score it, but his passing is unbelievable at times, Kylie. His vision, his hockey knowledge is very good. I think it's undeserved, very much undeserved.
I think for
Cam Kylie.
I think you're not going to get. I could understand that maybe if Mark keeps playing him on the first line, right?
Yeah,
and he maybe plays the way he's playing this now. He plays that way on the first line. I could maybe then understand, well, he's producing absolutely nothing, right? But on the line that he's on this now, I think he's playing the role that he's been asked to play. I think he's been playing it very well. You're right. I think it might have been the Belfast game. I can't remember. There was one game that we were given. We actually sort of said, you know what? He wasn't the man of the match, but somebody that should get an honourable mention out of that game was Cameron Kiley, because I thought he was fantastic. It's just he's playing a different role on that third line. And does that change when Elmer comes back? I'd like to think so. Because I hope Mark doesn't do the usual and kick Yamamoto all the way down to the fourth line. Because that's just, to me, that'd just be fucking hockey suicide. You leave they three together and you put Elmer in with Kylie and, in my opinion, McBean.
Yeah.
And then Johnny's quite sharp and could sniff out a chance, and Jake at times is fucking rapid, which then might begin to get Cameron really building back up again. And he could create chances.
Yeah.
The others have just got to be switched on for it, you know?
Yeah.
But 8-3 and 5, you can't argue with it. But it's a sad state of affairs, eh? Across there, I've heard a few people now saying it. that that was potentially the last game we'll see Stars playing there for a while.
Yeah, we're a good old pal, Richard Smith. I met him at the basketball last night.
He was
saying that as well. And he's like, "Oh, did you go through?" I was like, "Nah, I didn't go to Fife. Too much hassle, too much shit. And it's a shithole. And you didn't care what you'll catch there." I know. Fine. I saved Chan. We're fine. I was like, I'm not going back through there anyway. It's like, it could be the last game ever, but we'll play there. I'm like, I think it will be. I think Fife will be fine. And if they're knowing it next year, I think they'll be back the year after. Or certainly, I think if they do drop down or they drop out, they'll go SNL. There'll be no Kestrels. So they'll go down because they'll keep the club running. It's the oldest club. They'll keep that going. But I think after that, I seriously think there'll be a strong conversation around NIHL 4 or 5 imports.
Yeah.
And I think more teams, maybe like us, Manchester, I think Guildford are fine up there. They've got money. Coventry are probably fine up there. But depending on, do they think to themselves, well, actually, there's more teams going to be there. It'll be more competitive. You're then left with your Belfast, Cardiff, Nottingham, Sheffield.
Oh, look, here comes Super League 3.
Yeah. They'll have 4 or 5 teams around about that, just saying, right, what do we do next? Because ultimately that's what it is. The beer teams are going to need to, they're saving the money, bringing better players, but also it'll be more competitive.
And like, I'm a great believer in it, right? That I think there's too many imports, right? I really do think there's too many imports.
Far too many.
People say there's not enough British players. Yeah, there is. There's thousands of British players. And I think the best way of going is back to the BNL of 8 imports.
Yeah.
That would be me. I would go with 8 imports, and then you load up your roster with British players. And if you've only got 7 Brits on your bench, then you can only ice 7 imports.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the way it used to work as well. You had to have the correct number of Brits. If you wanted to play 8 imports, you had to have 8 minimum 8 Brits on your bench. You know?
Yeah.
So
I could even
I'd be happy with that. You could even
see, you know, 9 imports. You know, gives you your game day roster of 18, effectively. You know, you've got to remember the BNL. With your 8 imports, you know, you had 16 players. It was 3-line hockey, effectively.
Yeah.
You could have 9 or 10. You get your 10, that's your you've got 20 players for your game day roster. You'll have 4 lines plus your goalies, however you want to do it. But I do think, you know, what are we at now? 14 or 15 imports now. Taking away the spots. I know I've come up from 8 to 9 or 10, but I could see why maybe 9 or 10 still. I don't think it'll be the end of Fife, basically. I think that they will be in either in the Elite League, or certainly there'll be strong conversations around NIHL going forward. Lesser imports, better.
I thought we
and more teams. Playoff promotion and relegation leagues there, potentially.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, if you can get a lot of group, and you could split it. This is when you could maybe potentially get a real conference, when you could go north and south, and you could suddenly you could actually say, right, your north could include the top of England, right? Whatever teams are there, you could even go as far as maybe say Manchester go north, and everybody from Manchester down the way is south, and you've then suddenly got conferences, real conferences,
and real playoffs. I know they do a playoff week. I know they do a playoff weekend in Coventry as well, but certainly, absolutely there could be a three game or a 5 game series like what was in the BNL towards the end. But yeah, but no, for but that, I think
I did. Well, I hope that are right, but I do think that probably in days or years gone past, that we would always think, oh, fuck, if five go down the tubes, that's us as well. But at this point in time, I don't think we rely on Fife as much as what we used to.
No.
You know, there again, we were playing Nottingham, and there's 1,900 at the game. And Nottingham didn't have a big following support with them. So,
that or something?
Yeah. I remember days going past, you'd be looking at maybe 12 or 1,300. Yeah. All of a sudden, our crowds are on the increase. Fife's on the decrease. So, yeah, of course you want them there, so you've got the rival in and that. But I must admit, I spoke to somebody during the week about this. I'll tell you what it was. Ryan, I think his name's Ryan, does the security at Tesco's. He does the door at the rink as well. I actually think we've got more of a rivalry with Belfast at this point in time than what we've got with anybody. It always seems to fucking kick off at a Belfast game somehow.
Yeah.
Always seems to be a bit animosity in a Belfast game. But what was what I say there to finish on the Flyers was I'd noticed that someone with stars in their blood changed their logo on Facebook, and I thought this could be a cryptic clue. And it was none other than Robo who changed his cover photo, right, to him in his Flyers jersey. And I'm thinking, Robo's what a way, he's going to want to plough his millions into Fife.
Yeah.
But he denied it.
Blair coach.
But we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see.
Yeah. Does take us into league standings then. So Flyers still bottom, 8 points through 35 games, just those three wins.
Yeah, Junior.
Manchester, what?
Just looking at that, right? Fife Flyers have only won two more games in Kilmarnock.
Oh, fuck's sake, Senior. Manchester in ninth, 25 points to 35 games. Stars down to eighth now from seventh last week's show. 33 points, level with the Clam, but having played three more games, Clam with more regulation wins. Guildford in sixth, 41 points to 37 games. Coventry in fifth, 45 points to 38. Cardiff in fourth, 46 to 35. Nottingham in third place, 48 points through 36. Sheffield in second, 49 points through 36 games. And Belfast Giants and JJ Pegarich still at the top, 57 points, 37 games played. Again, going to be tight for them coming into that final part of the season. Senior, take it away.
Yeah, good, bad, the ugly time. You know what? We'll probably touched on a couple of the subjects already. I think the good was the bounce back ability versus Fife. It was a poor performance on Saturday. We've went into Fife, we've turned up, and we've put eight past them. So that has to be the good. The bad, believe it or not, is it's bad against us because it's a Clan picking up points. And they've now again caught us. They've now got three games in hand on us. They could move clear of us, which then means it could be a straight fight between us and Manchester for eighth place to see who's, at this point in time, probably going to get Belfast at the playoffs. And the ugly, we touched on it. Lack of ice time for specific players. I don't get it. I don't like it. Even if it meant that, I know you're pointing, Johnny.
Hiding up the word cash and just having Johnny there, Team Johnny.
Yeah, but even just to put Pulio out there and just smash somebody, just to get someone going, just to get the team going, you know, because their ice time was poor. Yet, we touched on it. You look at their ice time the next night when they're pumping Fife. Ice time's right up. Yeah. So, I don't like it. It becomes like sort of, oh, we're pumping Fife, so we could give them the luxury of giving them ice time. Yeah, that's probably true, but you sometimes need these boys to go in and smash the fucking D-men and smash them and continue smashing them and then make the call. Don't make the call fucking part of the way through the second period, right, lads? That's like they're sitting down. I bet for you, Craig, because we're on the penalty kill. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nah, no good enough for me, so that was ugly. Ice time. That's it.
Okay, so we will take it on to the Liam Mean Tattoo-sponsored game previews. So, two must wins this weekend. We are away to the Manchester Storm on Friday and home to Glasgow on the Saturday. To be honest with you, I was going about the other names there, but can we bother going through them? Jesus, I say, I hate it. I think about them because they've got that many fucking cities and towns and places that they're involved in now. So, Glasgow.
Just say the Ouija clan.
The Ouija fuckers. Okay.
The Ouija clan.
So, yeah, Friday the 14th, Valentine's Day, Manchester Storm, senior.
Yeah, it's going to be...
I wonder if Alex will be emotional.
It's going to be emotional, Junior. That's all I'm going to say. I think it's going to be emotional. I'm not too sure who Lara's going to want to win, whether she's going to go with Alex and the Storm, or if she's, you know, would that be her heart going that way and her head would go with the Stars? We just don't know, Junior. We just don't know. It's up for debate. I'm sure she'll be driving down there right away, you know, as soon as she finishes work, bang, she'll be right down to Manchester.
Yeah.
I noticed there's no been any invites for us. I don't even think there's been an invite for Becky. I think she might be going herself.
Yeah.
So she's maybe staying over. Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well,
back to the serious stuff. We need to win this, eh?
Must win.
We must win, or at least take a point. At least minimum has to be a point. And it, you know what? Out this whole weekend for me, it's a minimum of 3 points.
Yeah,
it has to be. But Manchester's going to be so. It's a fucking shit rank.
Yeah.
Over the past week, I've struggled in Manchester. And we really need to turn. We really need to turn this round there. We really do. They've got. I take it you're going to touch on your three to watch. Are you going so, with skaters or are you going with the goalie?
So I went with Alex Oldale. sorry, that's just one player to watch for Lara. Nobody else.
That's all he'll be doing is watching Lara.
no, 3 points to watch. Well, the thing is, though, they've obviously brought the new boy in, the new goalie in. I can't remember his name. He's, I think, what is he, 2-3 so far? He's only on two of his five games. So, no, I went with skaters. So, Alexis Doust, of course, top point scorer for them. 18 goals and 24 assists in 35 games. Grant Herbert, 21 assists in 32 games. And Jake Durflinger, just because I like to say his name, 25 points in 30 games. There's other players in there that have got some better stats than a couple of those guys, but certainly they seem to be the boys that are putting up. I think Gebert's got the second most assists. Doust, obviously, top goal scorer and top assist. But Durflinger's just always hangs about like a bad smell.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. They guys seem to perform well against us. And you could probably put Critchlow in there as well, eh? But yeah, it's going to be so tough for us. I always tend to fear the worst when we're going to Manchester.
I am.
Just because the rank, the setup at the rank, but they've got to go over that and just go and play how we know we could play. Like, is their first line any better than our first line? Is their second line any better than our second line? Is their goalie any better? Now, the goalie situation for me is going to be difficult, right? We actually thought that, and it transpires that it looks like Savo probably still had a wee niggle. He certainly got injured in the Belfast game the week before. And the whisper started to come out because everybody thought he played well both games that weekend. He's going to start against Nottingham, yet Jarrett started. And then it was Becky mentioned that I think he's still injured. And then when you watched him, the way he skated during the warm-up or when the teams had skated on the ice, he was sort of favouring one of his one leg or than the other, and you think, well, maybe he's maybe still carrying a wee niggle. So that's why we went with Jarrett, and then we thought, well, we're going to Fife Kimmel, we'll just give Jarrett the game again.
Yeah.
I think if Sabo's fit, Sabo starts in Manchester.
Yeah.
Because I think he's been playing well enough, and it's probably only injury that's kept him out. Certainly in the Nottingham game, Jarrett might have got the Fife game just because it was Fife.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go on the premise that I think we'll get beat, but I think we'll take a point out of it.
Yeah. Right, what's your score then?
5-4 Storm. Overtime.
I have gone 5-2 Manchester.
Okay.
I think we're always shit Manchester. Never seen us play well Manchester. Ever?
No, not ever.
Yeah.
None of it. I've not seen us put up. I've seen scorelines coming through that are positive against Manchester, but I've never seen a fucking a really convincing
win down there. Yeah. Back up the road, Saturday night, home to the Leechy fuckers. Clan.
Must win. We will win. And send them back down the road. We're better than them.
Yeah.
We are better than them.
Players to watch out for, three players. Cole Uli, obviously he was in amongst it with the penalty shot winners and scoring them in Nottingham for their 2 points at the weekend. So 35 points in 32 games. Devin Sidorov, 17 plus 14 through 33 games played. And Ryland Schwartz, who seems to be putting up a wee bit of points now and again, well, more recently putting up a few points here and there. 12 plus 17 through 34 games. Not including your boy in the three players to watch because he'd be an absolute liability and no doubt you'll take a stupid penalty at the weekend, which is what we're all hoping to see. I would love for another Clan meltdown, just to be honest with you.
Yeah, so would I. And it'll be interesting on who they play as their netminder because they played Nottingham. They won on penalties. Brian played against Fife. Yeah. And won convincingly. A lot of the fans thought that Brian should have played in Nottingham and they played Landon Bow. And Landon Bow gets a win. Yet a lot of fans were given it not, but should have been Brian Bow shite, blah 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 blah. And the lad he goes in and wins it for them. Lucas wasn't at his best the last time they played up here. So it's going to be interesting to see who Nielsen plays in the goal against us. And whatever happens, I think they play on a Friday night as well. I'm not too sure. That it may dictate who their goalie is against us. But it'll be tough, but I do expect a win. And I would expect a Mitchell Hearn meltdown. I would expect a Felix Barry meltdown. And I expect Pouliot to knock the shit out the fucking two of them.
At the same time.
At the same time. I'm not expecting much, Junior, but that's what I'm expecting.
Yeah. Go ahead. Score.
5-3 stars.
I think 4-3 stars in overtime, which is not the best result, but I think that's how it's going to go.
Yeah. I mean, fuck. It's been a long day, Junior. I'm sitting fucking yawning.
yawn. Excuse me. Fuck.
Yeah. It wouldn't be good for them to pick points up, but I think for us, we need to pick up 2 points against them.
Yeah.
Now, if they pick up one, I think they'll win their games in hand anyway. That's the worry for me.
I don't know. They're push.
No, that's the thing. They're probably a bit like us, where on paper they've got a very, very good team.
Yeah.
And they pull out decent results, and then they suddenly get an absolute howler of a result. And they're inconsistent. As long as we could get 3 points out of four.
Yeah.
You know, I would even, this might sound silly, but I would take 2 points against Manchester to keep Manchester away from us.
Mm-hmm.
And take 1 point. And if Glasgow take the two, Glasgow take the two. Just from a standing perspective, I would take that.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, and we are totally consistently inconsistent, we could lose both games.
Yeah.
In regulation.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Rounding off the show, Slimming World with Stella, sponsored on this day. So on this day, on the 11th of February, there was nobody born. There was nobody signed, nobody left, nobody extended their contracts. However, there were some games. There were also some games around about this date, on the 10th and the 12th and the 13th even. So let's go and have a look at the amazing Elite League scheduling supercomputer. On this day in 2018, we had a home league loss versus the Glasgow Clan. Funnily enough, around about the same date. We lost by 4-3. Goals by Cody Carlson and 2 by Brian Hart. I'm sure it was a season before that we had the Clan at home, and the season after that we also had the Clan away from home around about this date. 2022, on this day, we had a home league win versus the Belfast Giants by 4-3 in overtime. 2 goals by Sebastian Bengtsson, Tom's Rutkus.
Oh, wow.
And the overtime game-winning goal by Connor Sills.
Got his jersey.
You've also got Riley Wetmore's. And in 2024, on this day, just last year, we had a home league loss to the Belfast Giants by 3-2. Goals by Anthony Rinaldi and Brendan Harms. And that's on this day. Yeah. Three things there on this day. So, yeah, senior, another show down.
Yep.
But as two must win this weekend, Friday and Saturday. Two must win games. Fingers crossed we're sitting here next week discussing a 4-point weekend. We'll take a 3. Maybe even just take a 2 if we could beat Manchester in regulation. But hopefully it's a 4-point weekend. Enjoy the rest of your week, folks. Senior's ready for his bed by the looks of it.
As always.
I hope everybody has a good week. Has a very lovely Valentine's Day on Friday, especially you, Lara, with Alex, if you're travelling down or if he comes back up the road with you. You never know. And we'll see you all at the rink on Saturday. Don't you know, pump it up.